Hey, this is Pastor Brian Wolfmeyer, the pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. Got an email this morning saying, hey, Pastor, why don't you turn the Sunday drive home to a podcast? That way I can listen while I drive around myself or while I do the dishes. That's a good idea. So we're trying it, seeing how it works. This is the first episode. We'll, again, experiment to see if this is easy to do and worthwhile. So let me know what you think. You can contact me at wolfmuller.co/contacts. In this little episode, we talk about is the church essential? I got to visit with a bunch of theologians and pastors from Denmark last weekend, and they were talking about the government and the contingency plan and how the church is involved in that. I think it's the conversation that we're having about, is the church essential? So I reflect on that a little bit on the way to the hospital last weekend. So here you go. Saturday drive to the hospital. I got to go to Denmark this morning. I mean, on the computer. Next year, 2020, February 5th, Lord willing, I'll be there in person for the Luther Study Days. But this year, they asked if I would present some videos on Job and suffering and on having COVID and what that was like. And then I got to go on live and take questions, which was great. I mean, it's so great to see our brothers and sisters over there in Denmark. I got to hear about their struggles and the and what they're going through with the COVID lockdown. They can have services for no longer than 30 minutes. Their mask policy is kind of similar to what we do here. You got to wear it going in and leaving, but you can't, if you're sitting down in church, they have no singing at all. It's illegal to sing, so they'll maybe have one person singing the hymns and stuff. And they said they have about 1/8 of their normal people attending church coming. So pray for, it's good to pray for the church, especially the church throughout the world, the church in Denmark, that the Lord would have mercy on it. But there, and I'll try to link the videos that we did at the end of this video or in the description or somehow. We can put those up there. And I'll try to remember to link the videos that they made so it has the Danish subtitles. That'd be kind of cool. But one of the questions they asked was, in Denmark, the language is the contingency plan. Should the church be part of the contingency plan? And I think the equivalent conversation that we're having here in the United States is the question of essential services. Should the church be considered part of essential services? You know how that goes. If you are a hospital, for example, you're apparently essential. Or a grocery store, because eating is somewhat essential. But if you're a hairdresser, you're not considered essential. Although, and who gets to make the list? That is the question. I know that some governors in some states have declared the church to be an essential service. And the Christians have rejoiced at that declaration because in some ways it's true. The church, I mean, what's more essential than Jesus blessing us with forgiveness and life eternal? Some governors have declared the church is non-essential. Like, I don't know if this is... Like in Las Vegas, when the casinos were essential and the churches were non-essential. It's a bit sketchy, if you ask me. But we have to be careful about this. Because if we understand rightly the three estates that the Lord has established, the church and the family and the state as three estates, then it's not the job of the state to start defining the church or the family for that matter. it's not the state's job to determine if the church is essential. We have to recognize that the state has very, very little to say about the church. Now, if the state wants to say, hey, we want your buildings to not collapse, and so we have building codes and you guys got to follow that, well, okay, fine. It's great. It's helpful. I want people to know that the building is not going to collapse when you come inside. So there's a way that as we live in this world as good neighbors, we can recognize the neighborly role of the state. But when the state starts to determine the preaching of the gospel or the administration of the sacraments, its importance or not to people's lives, then we just have to say to the state, you are reaching beyond your reach, grasping beyond your reach. You're speaking beyond your knowledge. That's beyond your pay grade. The Lord Himself will determine the things of the church. We got to say the same thing, by the way, about the family. It's not the government's job to say this is what marriage is and this is what it's not. It can recognize what the Lord has established in nature, but it can't declare anything or make anything different. That's just, it's beyond its pay grade. The estates, the three estates of family, church, and state, help us to see this clearly, where the state has a role and where the family has a role and where the church has a role, and it's important for us to recognize it. Now, it so happens in this fallen world that So back to this thing. Is the church part of the contingency plan, or is the church essential? The way we have to think about that is, if the government is determining what is essential or what is not, then we hope and pray that the government says nothing about the church. It says, we do not have the knowledge or capacity to determine if the church is essential or not. It's not up to us to make a verdict regarding the importance of the church. It stands on its own. That's what we would hope for. Now, it just so happens in this fallen world that the church and the state always want to get in each other's business. And I suppose the family too. And so we always have to be, especially the state, because the state, remember, is the least important of all of the estates. Church, family, those are the primary estates that we live in. And the state comes along just to make sure there's less death. I mean, think about it. The family brings forth life, biological life, life of flourishing life, human life. And the church brings forth eternal life. And the state can't do anything like that. The state has no authority to give life or life eternal. All the state is there to do is to protect the life that comes from the family and the church. So it's sort of a subsidiary role. The state, by its very nature as an estate, is a servant estate that serves the family and the church. At least that's how God ordained it. But the state hates being the servant. The state hates being a slave estate and wants to be the master estate. And so it's always sort of rising up and asserting itself over and against family and church. And as it does that against families, we got to say, hey, take it easy. And as it does it against the church, we have to say, fine, take our lives. You know, that was the history of martyrdom in the church when the state said, hey, you can't be Christian anymore. And we said, well, says you. And the state says, we have the authority to kill you. The Lord has given us the sword. We can end your life. And the Christian said, fine. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom, God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom, ours remaineth. And so the church was always happy to confess Christ with our lips and with our blood, because the state got overexcited about being all kingy and stuff. Oh well, so be it. We should know, I mean, we should see the state sort of overreaching and be like, well, the state's going to do what the state's going to do. We've seen it before, we'll see it again. But anyway, that's what we think about the state. When the state starts declaring things essential, and it says family's essential, church is essential, we want to be happy, but we should remember that's none of their business. The state is not qualified to determine the essentiality of the church. All right. Anyway, I just was thinking about that from this conversation from Denmark today. So this is a Saturday drive to the hospital. God be praised. And if you watch those videos, let me know what you think. Thanks. God's peace be with you.
Hey,
Hey, Pastor Wolfmuller here. I got an email this morning saying, hey, Pastor, why don't you turn the Sunday drive home into a podcast? That way I can listen while I run or do the dishes, which is a cool idea. So I'm trying it here to see how easy or difficult it is. So here's a little recording I did. I got to visit with a bunch of pastors and theologians from Denmark last weekend, and they were asking about the church being part of the contingency plan, which I think in our language is the church essential? And here's some reflections on that particular question. Hey, thanks for being part of the podcast experiment. Let me know what you think, the Sunday Drive Home podcast. You can also sign up for my weekly free email theological newsletter. Wolfmuller.co is the website, and you can click on the Wednesday whatnot and sign up and get that, and that keeps you up to date on everything that's going on. So there you go, and let me know. Again, you can reach me at the website, wolfmuller.co. Press the contact button, and let me know what you think about this little experiment. Thanks. God's peace be with you.